I would like very much for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter 6. I'm going to bring a message from John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 37. Now, this is a familiar passage of Scripture. Men quote it different ways. Some quote it this way, "Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." Others quote it, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And this is the will of God, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. There's some tremendous themes in these verses of Scripture. And I'd just like for you, if you will, to take your Bible and open it to John 6, 37, and follow as I read the Scripture and as I speak to you on this subject, the will of God. Now, I really believe that I have hold this morning of a very important subject, a very needy subject, and one that will, I believe, be a blessing to you if you're given ears to hear, and God is pleased to give me the power to preach with some liberty on this subject, the will of God. I feel very deeply about it, and I feel that I have something to say, and I want you to listen. Now, will you take your Bible and turn to John 6, 37, and listen carefully while I read each phrase. I'm going to come back in a moment and speak from each phrase in these four verses of Scripture. Now, on the will of God, John 6, 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, my friends, every word of this text is weighty and powerful. Our Lord is dealing here with tremendous themes. We'd need a lifetime to study just these four verses of Scripture, a lifetime. And then we wouldn't exhaust the riches and the treasures that are found here. We need the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and a will to receive that which the Savior speaks. Now, let's look at each phrase. As I told you before, I'm going to try to speak from each phrase. Now, the first one is this: "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me." All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. Now, what has the Father given to the Son? What has the Father given to the Son? Let me show you five things. First of all, the Father hath given to the Son all things pertaining to salvation, pertaining to life, pertaining to eternity, pertaining to the new heaven and the new earth. All things are given to Christ. Now, if you look at John chapter 3, verse 35, you'll find these words: "The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands." All things. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ. In Ephesians 1, Paul wrote this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ." So that's the first thing given to the Son. All things pertaining to life, to salvation, to eternity, the new heaven and new earth, all things have been given to Christ. Now, secondly, all authority. Absolutely all authority. If a man preaches a weak Jesus, he's not preaching the Christ of the Bible. If a man preaches a pitiful Jesus and tries to win sympathy on your part for Christ, he's not preaching the Christ of the Bible. Because all authority in heaven and earth, all power over all flesh has been given to Jesus Christ. Did you know that? I'll read you two verses of Scripture, Matthew 28:18. Before our Lord sent His disciples out to preach, He said to them, "Listen, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth." All authority. All control. Every power is subject to Christ because He has all power in heaven and earth. Over principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness, He has all authority. Listen to John 17:2. Our Lord is praying here, and He said, "Father, glorify Me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Thou hast given Me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Me." The Lord Jesus Christ has been given by the Father all authority. Our Lord is a King, King of kings and Lord of lords. He sits on a throne. The Father told Him to sit at His right hand in triumph and victory and power until He makes His enemies His footstool. Christ is not in your hands, nor in my hands, and never has been. We're in His hands. He has all authority over all flesh. And then watch it thirdly. Now, He said, "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me." And my question is, what has the Father given Him? What's coming to Him? Well, He's given Him all power. He's given Him all things pertaining to life and salvation. And He's given Him all judgment. That's right, in this world and the world to come. In John 5:22-23, listen, "For the Father judgeth no man, but He hath committed all judgment to the Son." To the Son, that all men should honor the Son. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent Him." Our Lord has all judgment committed to Him. The Scripture says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All authority, all things, all power, all judgment has been committed to Christ, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Not only that, but watch fourthly. This has been given to Christ. All praise and glory. God hath given Him a name and glory which is above, far above and beyond every name. Listen to Philippians 2:9. "Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow in heaven, every knee shall bow, even the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims and the human creatures, even the demons of hell, every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord." That's been given to Christ. Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "My Father hath given Me all things, all authority, all power, all judgment, all praise, and all glory." Now watch this, fifthly. All the elect have been given to Him. All of God's jewels have been given to Him. All of God's people have been given to Him. All of God's sheep have been given to Him. They have been given to Him when? From the beginning, before the foundation of the world, by the decree and design and purpose of the Father. They have been given to Him to be redeemed by Him, to be sanctified by Him. They have been given to Him to be presented in glory by Him and to be made like Him. Let me read you some Scripture. Now, the one I just read says, "All that the Father giveth to Me shall come to Me, shall be Mine, shall be My possession. The Father gave these things to Me." And in John 17:2, He said, "Thou hast given Me all power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Me." And in verse 9, He says, "I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for those whom Thou hast given Me." The Father gave the Son a people. The Father gave the Son a people in an everlasting covenant of mercy, a covenant of grace. You say, "I know so little about the covenant." My friend, God's covenants are mentioned in the Bible nearly 300 times, and yet we know so little about them. It's called the everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace, the new covenant, of which Christ is the surety. And His blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant, and He's the priest of the everlasting covenant. And these people whom the Father hath given to the Son, He hath chosen out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven. And Christ said, they shall come to me. I love the shalls and the wills of God's Word. He didn't say they might come to me. They could possibly come to me. No, sir. They shall. All that the Father giveth me, all things, all power, all judgment, all praise, all glory, all the elect, they shall come to me. He shall not fail. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. And for the joy that was set before Him in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, He endured the cross and He ignored the shame and gave Himself a sacrifice. Now that's a promise. All right, let's go to the next statement. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now watch this statement. And him that cometh to me, and him that cometh to me, Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free, white or black, old or young, him, whosoever, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise, under no circumstances, for no reason, ever cast him out. Never. If he gets to me, if he comes to me, if he comes to me. Now watch this. What is it to come to Christ? I'm going to help you here if you listen. What is it to come to Christ? Well, it's not a physical coming. It's not a physical bodily coming. Because when he was here on the earth in human flesh, many people came to him to hear him. They came to be healed by him. They came to question him. They came to try to entangle him in his talk. So this coming to Christ so as to be received by him, so as to be blessed by him, so as never to be cast away from him, is not a physical coming. Nor is it a coming to his disciples, nor to those things that represent him. Nor is it a coming to his preacher, nor is it coming to the front of the church. Nor is it shaking a preacher's hand, nor is it coming to a church or joining a church. Nor is it coming to the baptismal waters, nor is it coming to the Lord's table, nor is it coming to the law. Coming to Christ can be summed up in three words. It is a spiritual coming, it is a heart coming, but it's summed up in three words. First of all, the word believe. And secondly, the word receive. And thirdly, the word trust. Now, to believe on Christ, what is it to believe on Christ? What is it to believe Christ? It is to believe Him as He is revealed in His Word. It's not to believe what I think about Christ or what somebody said about Christ or what somebody wrote about Christ. It's to believe what God wrote about Him in God's Word. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Christ is the object of faith. The Word of God is the only foundation of faith. And the Word of God reveals Him as the eternal God, the Creator. It says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Isaiah 9, 6, the Scripture says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So to believe Christ is to believe Christ as He's revealed in the Word without questioning His deity. And then is to believe the incarnate God-man. That Word, which was in the beginning with God and was God, that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He took on Him the likeness of sinful flesh. It's to believe Him as our representative and our righteousness. As in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. As we're born the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the second Adam, the heavenly, the Lord from heaven. And by one man's disobedience we were made sinners, so by the obedience of Christ we're made righteous. He's a representative. He is our righteousness revealed in the Scripture. He's our crucified Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we're healed. He was numbered with the transgressors and bare the sin of many. He's our risen justifier. He was raised for our justification. He's our enthroned mediator. The Scripture says there's one God, and there's one mediator, there's one intercessor, there's one great high priest, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. So, this thing of the coming to Christ is a heart move. It's a heart expression. It's a heart union, and it's to believe. Abraham believed God. And it wasn't written for his sake alone that righteousness was imputed to him through faith, but for our sakes also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as to receive Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To receive him in what way? To receive him in his office. He is a prophet to reveal God. No man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He's the priest to offer up a perfect sacrifice, to reconcile God by his blood. And he's the king to reign over us. And we receive his prophetical office, we receive his priestly office and his sin offering, and we receive his scepter as our king, my Lord and my God, Thomas summed it up when he fell at his feet. And then to come to Christ is to trust him. Sink or swim, I go to him. I trust him. I trust no other. I trust Christ. I lean on no other. I lean on Christ. I trust him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, confident, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is able to keep that which I've committed. I've committed unto him. It's a committal. Yes, it is. It's a committal. And I'm saying that those whom the Father hath given to the Son, and this is what Christ said, all that my Father giveth me, all that he's given me, they'll come to me. And him that cometh to me, and I'm saying they will come. They will be made willing in the day of his power. They shall hear the gospel. They won't be saved without the gospel. They won't be saved whether or not they believe, whether they believe or not. They'll be saved by hearing the gospel, and they'll receive the gospel, and they shall bow to Christ, believing him, receiving him, trusting him. And he says, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not, I will not, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, never, never forsake. I will in no wise cast him out. Now watch this next line. I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. This ought to settle the issue of the deity of Christ. He said, I came down from heaven. You didn't come down from heaven. I didn't come down from heaven. Nobody else came down from heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born of Mary. He was laid in a manger. But he came down from heaven. And he said in John 3:13, no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God. And he speaks of himself as none other but God. He said, behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. You'll call his name Emmanuel. God with us. God, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. He was in heaven. He is in heaven. He came down from heaven. Now watch the next line. I came down from heaven. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. He came down from heaven into this world through the virgin's womb. That's how he made his entrance. But he came down from heaven. Well, why did he come? Well, look at the next line. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, not to do the will of men, but I came to do the will of God. The will of God. That's what I'm talking about. I came to do, not to try to do, not to attempt to do it, the will of God. Hebrews 10:9 says this, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. What book? The Bible. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. My friend, do you want to know what Christ came to do? What he came to do? He came to do the will of God. And you'll read it in the Scriptures. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again, according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures are we talking about? We're talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And the will of God, in reference to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, is revealed from Genesis to Malachi. Almighty God says, I'll have a new heaven and a new earth. Almighty God says that new heaven and new earth will be inhabited by a holy people. Did you ever notice this verse in Isaiah 45:18? Listen to it. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He created it not in vain. He didn't create the heavens and the earth in vain, nor the new heaven and new earth in vain. He formed it, listen, to be inhabited. He formed it to be inhabited. Almighty God has purposed to have a people. He has purposed to have a people who will be just like His Son. He has purposed to have a holy people just like His Son who will reign with Him forever and praise Him forever and forever. And that will shall be accomplished by Jesus Christ who came down from heaven in His glorious redemptive work to accomplish the will of His Father. I came down from heaven not to do the will of men, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me. Now watch the next line. And this is the will of Him that sent me. This is it. It's twofold. You see, it just flows. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven with a mission. I came down from heaven to accomplish a task. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And He says, this is my Father's will, which has sent me. It's twofold. Will you look at it? Here it is. That of all which He hath given me in that blessed covenant of grace, those people innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven, those people whom the Father gave to the Son, I'll lose nothing. Not a one of them. Not a one of them. People talk about losing their salvation and losing that vital union with Christ and being saved today and going to hell tomorrow. Christ didn't teach that. He didn't teach that. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I lose nothing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. In Isaiah 46:9-11, I'm God, He said. There's none else. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. God says, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I'll do it. This is my Father's will which has sent me, and of all which He hath given me, in that covenant of grace, in that purpose of mercy, those whom the Father gave to the Son, for whom the Son came to this earth and suffered and bled and died, who are called by the Holy Spirit and have the gospel revealed to them, He said, I'll lose not one of them. Not one of them. And I'll raise them up at the last day. In that day when Christ shall come, when Christ shall come and the dead shall be raised, He said, I'll raise every one of my people. Not a one of them will be lost. Now here's the second part of the Father's will. He said, this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And He said in verse 40, this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone, and I say that's Jew or Gentile, white or black, rich or poor, old or young, learned or ignorant, everyone, Jew or Gentile, whoever, that seeth the Son, is this to see Him in a vision, preacher, or a dream, or maybe in a picture? Oh, no. This is seeing Him with eyes of faith. Seeing Him in His Word. seeing Him as the God-man, seeing Him as the Redeemer, seeing Him as our righteousness, seeing Him as our substitute, seeing Him as our risen Lord, seeing Him as our mediator. This is seeing Christ with eyes of faith, as the Holy Spirit takes the Word and anoints these eyes and opens them to behold Christ, and hearing Him with ears of faith. Whosoever, He said, everyone that seeth the Son and believes on Him, do you believe? May have eternal life. And He said, I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, here's a sad note at the end of this passage. It says, and the people began to murmur and to murmur and to murmur. And they said, why, is not this the carpenter? Isn't this not Jesus? Do we not know His mother and father? How can He be the bread of life? How can He be the Lord from heaven? How can He be God? And He said to them, murmur not. Murmur not among yourselves. I said unto you, no man can come to me, believe, receive, or trust, except my Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day, drawn by the Father's mercy and taught by the Father's Spirit.